ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu.
All right, here it is. It's the bonus hour. The 60 minutes you've all been waiting for. Here they are, right in front of you. Several texts coming in, Wendy, from what we were discussing before the switchover from regular radio to the bonus hour. Number one, they said that the people we were referring to were not called little people. They were called Weebles, but those were separate.
Those were
very separate.
And Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Prior to Weebles, which were egg-shaped things.
Yes.
There was this little people set that we had. They had a round head and like almost like a spool from a spool of thread.
Right.
That's what their bottom was.
Right.
That wasn't a Weeble.
No, those were completely different.
I don't think they were called little people, though, either.
No, I think they were. I'm pretty sure they were. And didn't they also, Play School made them, right?
I believe so.
I think in every set you had, it was a family, and then there was also a dog.
Yes.
Right? I don't remember if there was a cat or not.
Yes.
Was there also
Fisher
a cat?
Fisher Price made them.
What did
Is that
I
what
say?
You said?
Yeah, Fisher Price. Didn't I say that?
I don't remember.
I think I did. It was almost a minute ago. It was a long time ago.
I really don't.
Who can remember back then?
They're vintage little people figures.
Wasn't there
a policeman?
Right.
I totally remember
was the
dog.
Was there also a fireman, too? Or just
cowboy.
A
police?
Cowboy. It was basically the village people. The village little people.
That would have been really good.
That was
good.
A band that did not take off, unfortunately. I remember one of the play sets was a house, like a dollhouse, but there was also a farm.
Yeah, and they had like little holes where you'd put the little spool people in.
That's right.
That was our first introduction. This is $8.95 on eBay.
That's all?
Etsy. Little people figures, pick your own girl, baby, policeman, wooden plastic cowboy, animals, person. Mm-hmm. Pick your own two for $8.95.
Wow, that's a bargain.
Although, what are you going to do with them?
That's true, I guess. Well, you could wash them and give them to a child.
That's weird about used toys. I have an issue with that sometimes.
Yeah.
But those weren't Weebles.
No, those 100%. Were totally separate. They existed at the same time. And if you were industrious, you could combine the two worlds, although it was always strange when you crossbred various toys.
Yes.
Right? You know what I mean
yes,
by that,
Yes, I
right?
do.
I, for a long time as a kid, the toys that I had the most of that I played with on a regular basis were the Marx Presidents, which were the presidents of the United States.
You played with them?
Yeah. I had them do presidential things, like in a group. Like,
wow.
Like all the presidents were always doing something together. They were on a field trip. It's ridiculous. I don't know. But it wasn't just, for me, it wasn't just the presidents. I had the presidents and the Disneykins and also the James Bond figures from Gilbert. So they all were in the same world. Presidents, Disney characters, and James Bond people.
Diversity. That's what you showed.
It was diversity, but the storylines were ridiculous.
What would they talk about? I can't imagine the...
Well, I would have the James Bond guys, like, they'd go to Disneyland, and then I could incorporate the Disney figures, and then they would go on the Hall of Presidents ride or show, and the presidents would come out into the audience and attack, and then the Disney people and the James Bond people had to work together to fight off the presidents.
So the presidents were bad?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I was ahead of my time.
Yes, you were forecasting the future.
Right. So in my head, it made perfect sense. And here's another thing that I did. Tell me if this isn't crazy. I would take I had a set of junior encyclopedias.
Yeah, who didn't?
Everybody had those, right? So the set that I had, I don't remember who made them. It wasn't one of the brands you're familiar with. It was kind of an off-brand that when you went to either Jewel or whatever food store we went to, if you spent enough money, you would get a volume of the encyclopedia. But like I said, it was an off-brand.
Right. But I remember those. I got those, too.
You had the same ones? Were yours color-coded?
Uh-huh.
Like
yes.
Each one had a different color?
On the spine of the book?
Yeah, on the spine of the book. So I would take the set of encyclopedias. I did this often. And I would create a walkway in my bedroom. And on either side of it was outer space. So I had the James Bond people, the Disney people, and the presidents working together to build this walkway. But knowing that if they fell off the encyclopedia, they would fall off into space and float away. So
I love your imagination.
I have no idea why any of this made sense, but as a kid, it made perfect sense.
You were a prophet. Presidents doing bad things, which there were several.
Yes.
You built a wall in your room, separating outer space and us.
Yes.
Interesting. Quite the prophet is a little
Billy
Love.
I have no idea why that storyline permeated. Like, why did I keep going to that storyline? But at the time, it made perfect sense. It's ridiculous now.
Well, 'cause you're a kid. I know, but when you're a kid, you don't make sense. You have fun.
But I give my parents credit because I would explain to them what was happening, and I know a lot of parents would have stopped it and go, well, that's not how it works. Do this instead. My parents just said, oh, yeah, keep doing that. Why wouldn't you? The walkway into space with the presidents and Disney people? Yeah, of course. Go for it.
I don't think I had a lot of crossover.
You kept everybody separate?
I kind of did.
Was it better that way?
No, my brother's G.I. Joe dolls might have played with Barbie.
The Barbies a little bit? Yeah.
But I didn't do that much of that. I'm looking at this Fisher-Price Little People, and I don't know if you recall this, but when I saw this brought me back to being a kid. It must have been the farm, because you had the chicken that you'd put on top.
We didn't have the chicken.
And I remember this guy with the glasses that he wore down
like
on
Mr.
his...
Mr. Hooper.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Right? Yeah, I remember.
And
him.
Then there was a woman who looked like a school teacher to me, somebody who looked like Betty Rubble a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Betty would be that. I just remember these, the construction worker. This is the old Fisher-Price. Their bodies were almost like a little spool. And
they
the
were
women,
wood or plastic?
They were plastic.
They were plastic?
I'm pretty sure they were plastic.
Interesting.
And you're right. The one guy looked like Mr. Hooper, but this is for sale on Etsy at $7.95.
I wonder if he was, in fact, Mr. Hooper. Did they do a Sesame Street playset with them? Because he looked so much like Mr. Hooper, although the time frame doesn't sync up.
Yeah,
Sesame Street started in 69, right? I want to say 69.
Yeah, maybe it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, that.
But when my cousin would bring his Weebles over, we wouldn't. That was unacceptable because the Weebles people were built differently.
Yeah, but that's not fair. You let other people. You had the James Bond and the presidents in Disney. You wouldn't let the Weebles play with your Fisher-Price?
No. And now looking back on it, it was a wrong decision, Wendy. I should have been more inclusive, but 4-year-old me just went, no, these people keep tipping, the Weeble people.
But they didn't fall down.
They did not fall down, to their credit.
The others would fall down.
Right. Right.
I remember these Weebles, and I remember there's a Weebles treehouse. Did you have the Weebles treehouse?
We didn't have it, but I do remember it. What a work of art that was.
I had it, and there was this little... I guess it was like a kind of like a swing, but you'd put the little Weeble in there and then you'd turn a crank and that little swing type thing. It was like a capsule kind of, and it would come up to get to the upper portion of the treehouse.
Genius.
But I remember.
It's like what the Swiss Family Robinson had in their treehouse.
They had that?
Yeah.
Like a lift. I guess it was a tree elevator.
Yeah. Yep.
But, you know, now that I'm looking at it and I remember cranking it up, I don't know why I took the time and effort to do it. Why wouldn't I just pick the thing up, the Weeble up, and put it on the upper shelf?
That would have made sense. That would have made perfect sense.
I mean, some of these toys, and I watch my great niece Addie play with some things, and she gets so into it like we did.
Yeah.
It's like it wasn't even that easy to crank it, and it wasn't like smooth going, but I had to do it so that little Weeble could get to the upper level.
Yep.
But really, I guess that's
you could have just made believe that somehow it got up there without physically moving it up there.
But doesn't that explain to you that as a child, you want to play?
Yes.
You don't want to solve a problem. You want to just play.
The silliest one, and I mean, if you had any kind of dollar action figure as a kid, you knew this. Whenever they were engaged in any activity, if you had more than one or two, you could stand them up and make them stand next to each other and talk. But then all the other ones were always just laying down on the ground.
Yeah.
You couldn't balance all 12 or 14 figures, whatever you were playing. There was always going to be two that were standing and talking, and the rest were just laying there. It was awful.
Sad.
It was awful. It's sad. I remember, like, I was fully accepting of that until one day I looked around the room and I went, this is crazy. This is when Do you remember Migos? Those were the superheroes. They had Planet of the Apes. They had Wizard of Oz. They had Knights.
Yeah,
they
I
had
do. Pirates. I didn't have those, but I do remember those.
I would just look around the room and go, all these guys are just laying around. It looks like there's a battlefield and everybody lost, you know, because you couldn't balance every one of them. That would have taken forever. It would have ruined the fun. Did you or your brother or anyone in your family have Major Matt Mason?
I think my brother did. That rings a bell. I don't know that I know what that is.
He was made by Ideal, and he was rubberized, like Gumby, and he had the same thing that Gumby had, which is if you played with it for more than a week or two...
The metal rod would come out,
and you could poke either your eye out, or you'd have a friend over, and you'd ruin their eyesight forever.
That's why it was named Pokey, dummy. what was it called again?
Major Matt Mason.
I bet my brother did have that.
They were really cool.
Bill, you are correct. Somebody did. They did do Sesame Street.
They did?
Fisher-Price Little People. And the guy who I pointed out to you originally on that Etsy page was Mr. Hooper.
Yeah, I thought so.
Because it looks just like him. I didn't think. And they have a Bert and an Ernie.
Oh, I didn't
and a
see
Carol
those.
And a Gordon and a Cookie Monster.
Bob?
I don't see Bob.
Hmm.
Bob's missing.
That's not right.
That's sad.
Bob's
actually.
Still with us, by the way. You know that, right?
No.
Yeah, he's been around forever.
What's his last name?
Just Bob.
Come on, I'm shocked you don't know this.
I can't remember his last name.
You're shocked, too.
But he was always, like, of the Sesame Street denizens, which were all very loving.
Yes.
He was the most friendly and approachable guy in all of Sesame Street.
I enjoyed him a lot.
Yeah.
He was their Alan Alda.
Yeah. That's
very
actually
sensitive.
Yes.
And,
yeah. And he always had a song.
Bob McGrath. We should have known that.
Why didn't we do the math? We choose McGrath.
We should have known that, though.
He always had time. If you needed a song, if you needed a comforting song, Bob would be there for you to share that with you.
Is he really still around?
Yeah. I mean, he's much older. Because I think, other than Mr. Hooper, he was the oldest guy on Sesame Street, right? Everybody else was young and up and coming. But Bob had been around the block. Not like Mr. Hooper.
There's a different around the block.
Right.
All right. We should try and get Bob.
He certainly deserved his own little people.
Yes, he's 87. He was born in Ottawa, Illinois. Jasmine,
he's local.
This is the crazy crap that you deal with working with us. This is the type of guest we want. Mm-hmm. Like Bob McGrath, mm-hmm. who is still around. He's 87 years old in Ottawa. He was born there. I don't know where he lives now.
I think before Sesame Street, I think he was part of a show. Do you remember the show Sing Along with Mitch? I think he was on a show like that.
What was that?
Sing Along with Mitch was a show in the 60s where it was like Lawrence Welk, where people would just get together. The whole thing was they weren't doing comedy bits. They would just sing songs. And sometimes the songs were like patriotic songs, or sometimes they were folk songs. There was no rhyme and reason to the songs that were chosen. You got a little bit of everything. But Mitch Miller was like the head guy. He was the Lawrence Welk of Sing Along with Mitch.
You
never saw
that
show? It was always on. Like if you ever went to like one of my great aunts or uncle's house, I don't know how they managed it because this was before there were DVRs, but it was always on. If you went in the morning, Sing Along with Mitch was on. If you went late at night, Sing Along. And I don't know how they pulled that off, but it was always on.
It was only on from 1961 to 1964.
That was it.
Was it in reruns?
Yes.
All right. No wonder I don't remember because I was a year old. Of course, you remember your birth.
Was it on when the birth? No, that was the one day they turned off Sing Along with Mitch.
Mitch Miller, as you mentioned.
I will not let you go. That's what Queen sings about
him. Sing Along with Mitch Miller. Leslie Uggams was on it.
Yeah, that's the first time I saw Leslie Uggams, Wendy.
Bob McGrath, as you mentioned.
Yeah, he was on. Oh, I didn't know he was on Sing Along with Mitch. I thought he was on a show like Sing Along with Mitch.
Oh, no, it was him.
Wow. Good for him.
There are other people that you'd probably know. I'm just Sandy Stewart. I don't know
Sandy Stewart.
But
if you got Uggams and McGrath, you got a show.
Then we start getting... Milton Berle was on it.
As a guest star.
Yes, these are all the guests. George Burns.
Yeah.
Shirley Temple.
Really?
Barbara McNair.
Oh, do you remember Barbara McNair?
Vaguely.
She was great. Had a great voice.
Jerry Vail.
Oh, I love Jerry Vail. You and I had him on our show one time.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Love Jerry Vail.
The Sing-Along Kids were on one episode.
I'm going to put that on my resume and see if anyone ever notices that it's on there. According to this, when you were less than 2 years old, you were one of the Sing-Along Kids. That's right.
Here, I'll get more information on the Sing-Along Kids so we can update your resume. Right. But first, there was a guest whom you loved. Mm-hmm. He is no longer with us. He was on TV on a nightly basis, mm-hmm. and he is uncredited and was also on Singing with Mitch.
Joey Bishop?
Close.
Don Rickles?
No, Johnny Carson.
Johnny Carson was on Sing Along with Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Because he normally went for people whose forte was singing. He didn't go big. Although you mentioned Milton Berle and George Burns. Those aren't guys I would have thought would have been on Sing Along with Mitch. I wonder if you could find... Well, it's probably on YouTube somewhere. I don't know that it would hold up real well because it's real super hokey. If you can imagine that. But it's so funny because they would sing... Like, he would lead them in Battle Hymn of the Republic, and then it was a Broadway show tune. It was, like, all over the board. There was no... But Lawrence Welk was kind of like that, too. There was no congruent line of, oh, that makes sense.
I totally don't remember this.
He was kind of a rotund guy, balding a little bit. Great voice.
It was referenced in an episode of The Simpsons, so I should know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of shows. The Wonder Years.
They talk about it?
The Arnolds watch an episode of Sing Along with Mitch. Alfred Hitchcock Presents. It's called The Test in 1962.
Yeah.
During his opening and closing monologues, Hitchcock is wearing a mustache and goatee. He says to follow the bouncing ball as he conducts the new show, Sing Along with Hitch.
Oh, that's so funny.
He was really funny.
That's very funny. All right, we'll take a break. Then Kim Gordon will join us. She'll give you the news and then more discussion. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thanks, Tim. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and for reasons none of us understand or can remember, we're talking about Sing Along with Mitch. You remember, Kim, the same thing that a texter remembers. They say on Sing Along with Mitch, at the end of the show, you would follow the bouncing ball with the lyrics.
Yes.
I don't know that they invented that concept, but they were the ones that made it like a thing where everybody in the world knew about it.
Right. My parents always used to reference Sing Along with Mitch, but I don't really remember,
I
remember following the bouncing ball.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there were kids shows that had songs up and you would follow the bouncing ball.
I think
ball.
So.
Yeah, I remember. I never saw Hanging with Mitch or
Sing
whatever.
Sing Along with Mitch.
I never saw it. And
I think that might have been before our time.
It was early 60s.
Yeah, he was born, I won't give it away, but you...
63.
Okay. It ran until like 64.
But then
okay, I'm 65.
The syndicated version with reruns ran afterwards.
Hey, that rerun, he was
not
in
rerun
it?
From What's Happening. Wendy.
That was one of my favorite shows.
I love that show. Hey.
I loved him.
No, it ran like they would send out a syndicated package, and I don't know what station here in Chicago ran it, and by you, Kim, it could have been any station, I don't know. But like I said to Wendy, anytime I'd visit one of my great aunts or uncles, it was always on. It was just a thing. Of course, Sing Along with Mitch is on. Why wouldn't it be on? I don't understand why.
And what kind of songs did Mitch sing?
Just everything.
Everything?
I would love to see it now where they would do like punk hits with Sing Along with Mitch.
Oh, that'd be great.
That would be so great.
In January 1961, Sing Along with Mitch premiered on NBC TV and ran until 1964, although the network brought it back for a brief string of summer reruns in 1966, so mm-hmm. you were three.
Mm-hmm.
It was this show that coined the phrase, follow the bouncing ball, which made it easy for viewers at home to sing with the lyrics that flashed on the TV screen. That was the originator? I had no idea.
But didn't Lawrence Welk do a version of that, too, where he was also...
No, follow the bouncing bubble.
Was that
Lawrence Welk?
That would be more Welkian. Follow this.
I don't remember that.
I can't remember for sure. Now, you had mentioned, because Wendy and I both got very excited finding out that Bob McGrath from Sesame Street is an Illinois native. He grew up in
Bob.
Ottawa. And in Highland Park, there's another Sesame Street person who lives there, right?
Right. The voice of Cookie Monster.
Wow.
I just closed the window. Yes.
The current voice of Cookie Monster lives there.
He does other voices as well on Sesame Street. Yes.
David Redman? Is that what you said his name is?
I don't know. I got to find it.
Is everyone in town always on the lookout for him?
Well,
is he like
just,
a local
like,
celebrity?
I've heard about it, but never met him, you know?
That happened to me when I was growing up. My friends always would tell the story that Evel Knievel lived in Oak Forest. Mm-hmm. And I never believed it. I'd always go, of course Evel Knievel lives in Oak Forest. Why wouldn't he live in Oak Forest? And then one of my friend Joe's dad was a police officer, and he was telling me the story one time. He goes, we had to go in, and I'm not supposed to tell you the name of the guy, but it was Evel Knievel. And I go, wait, he lives here? And he goes, oh, yeah, he's lived here for years. I didn't know that.
Well, see, Chicago's a big enough town, you can get away with that.
Right.
But, you know, growing up in Louisville, you would see Muhammad Ali walking around. You know, we would see him.
Really?
Yes. He used to live down the street when he was a little, when his name was Cassius Clay, from my grandfather.
Oh, that's so cool.
My grandfather's store. But, you know, you would run into him and also Colonel Sanders. I mean, he couldn't miss the Colonel.
Yeah. Did he dress like that all the time?
Yes, he did.
And in that white suit?
He and his wife had a restaurant called, I think I've talked to you guys about this before, called Claudia Sanders.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he and his wife both would just be hanging at the restaurant, and he would sit and sign autographs. You could have your
picture taken
with them. Yeah.
Was there ever a time where you saw both Muhammad Ali and Colonel Sanders in a short span of time?
I don't know. I remember they were always, I feel like they were always in the Derby parade.
The two of them? Not together.
But in the parade.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I could see that.
That's as weird as the when Nixon met Elvis thing.
It is. Yes, it is.
I wonder if there's a picture of them shaking hands somewhere.
Wouldn't you love to hear the conversation between Muhammad Ali and Colonel Sanders?
Yeah, that would be a good one.
The funniest thing in the world.
David Redman, by the way, is the guy who does Cookie Monster, and I think Beaker?
Oh, Beaker's from the Muppets.
Oh, yeah. He's the guy who does this all the
time. Yeah, he's in the...
You could do it.
He's in with them... Oh, they're in.
He does
the
Muppet stuff. He's an actor.
No, the guy with
Dr. Bunsen Honeydew.
Yes, thank you.
Dr. Bunsen Honeydew.
Yes.
Or Brad Palmer, if you're a sports fan in Chicago. They look the same.
Exactly the same.
Yes.
Exactly.
Indistinguishable.
The same. He's in a this David Rudman was born in Chicago. He's an actor and writer known for The Muppets, Muppets Most Wanted, and Sesame Street, 1969. It says.
Oh, he's been with them a long time. Maybe he was a writer for a while.
And then started doing voices.
And then when Frank Oz stopped doing voices, maybe he filled in the gap or something.
Boy, he's got a lot of credits.
I've heard the name. I didn't know he was from Highland Park. That's impressive. I wonder if he can drink for free anywhere in Highland Park just based on the fact that he's the Cookie Monster. Or maybe he just gets free cookies. He goes into bars and goes, I'll have a scotch and soda. And they go, no, you'll have a cookie. All right. call the shots.
The first time he was Muppet related, he was a Muppet performer, so he's a puppeteer as well, was The Muppets Take Manhattan in 1984. So he's not a longtime voice of Cookie Monster.
Right. No, I think Frank Oz did it until not that long ago, I think. Yeah.
And he was in just all the Sesame Street things.
Have you ever seen the footage where they show...
The Cosby Show.
The choreography of what goes on underneath? Like, you're so used to seeing the Muppets from a forced perspective of straight on, but really, there's all these puppeteers working them underneath, and you don't think about the mechanics of it. There was some either documentary or show where they showed how they do it, and it's amazing they don't just keep bumping into each other nonstop.
I'm sure it's a lot of work.
Oh.
With the wires that move their hands, it is pretty incredible. See, that's the magic of television. You were going to school to be you were into film.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think about how a movie's made. I am able to just watch it. Does that affect you now that you studied all that? Like, oh, that's a great camera angle. I just watch
sometimes
it and don't,
you don't
even
think
I don't.
But that's how, I mean, if it's being done properly, that's by design how it should be, that the audience isn't thinking about the mechanics.
Don't you think that happens when you're involved and know more about whatever it is?
Sure.
It doesn't really become your hobby or anymore. It's your job. No matter
what. I guess, yeah.
You know?
Yes.
It's just like radio.
Like you're listening when you're watching the news or something. You're probably listening for a sound bite or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. Like, that was a horrible sound bite. Or why did they pick that? They should have picked that. You know, you think about it differently. You can't help it.
Right.
And like cartoons, I cannot believe the stop animate. Like, who would ever make a cartoon? Judy Pylak's son does this.
Yes.
And like, I've watched some of his stuff and it's really good. And it's like, it's so painstaking.
Yes.
I know the result is awesome, but
slow. Even with computerization, it's still super slow.
Yeah. But in the old days, just the cells, like, and I can't drawings. Even imagine that.
Right.
Did you ever make your own flip book?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
And you know how long that took
you? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I only had like 20 pages. I didn't have a very good story in my 20-page flip book.
We talked about this the other day. I love to color. I love always.
Yeah.
I thought that would be really fun to sit there and color those cells.
Yes. But it's monotonous.
Oh, yeah. Extremely. Yeah.
It's also fun to watch how it went backwards. Like the golden age of animation, like in the 40s, if you look at the Popeye cartoons, the Max Fleischer Popeye cartoons, there's so much going on. There's so much animation. But if you flash forward to the Popeye cartoons of the 70s, where almost nothing is moving, you know.
Oh, I do remember
that. It's just so sad the way it went. Like, the way most things work is it gets better as time goes on.
Right.
But with animation, although there's been a resurgence and there's certainly cartoonists and animators that do a great job, but if you look at standard animation like Popeye from the 40s to the 70s, it got so horrible. It started out so great and just fell apart.
But don't you think computerization, though, changed that?
Yeah.
It made it, it, yeah, improved things?
Yeah.
And we talked about Sing Along with Mitch, premiered on NBC in January 1961, ran till 64, and then summer reruns briefly in 1966.
And then he died soon after, I believe, right? I don't think Mitch was long
was
for the world.
Was he just a host,
after that,
or was he a singer?
He
or
was both. He, okay, was the host, but he also he was one of the leaders of song, yeah.
But we learned, this is from funtrivia.com, that the phrase "follow the bouncing ball" and the actual action of it was debuted. They were the first show to coin that phrase.
Yes.
But then there's another reply that said Miller's show was the first to use the bouncing ball, but way before it, Max Fleischer originated it in his song cartoons, as movie audiences were invited to sing along with their renditions of popular songs of the day.
Oh, really?
So that's pretty interesting.
Oh. I couldn't remember where it originated. He, like we said, he was the one that made it just naturally, you know. Although it's silly, because if you saw a line of words up there, a song, your brain would just tell you to sing those words,
right,
in order.
Yeah, but if it was too
syllable, or if you repeat,
yeah,
you know, you go back, then the ball would,
right,
go back to the first,
right,
to the first word to tell,
right,
you to repeat the chorus.
Yeah. And I'm trying to remember, because it's been so long since I've seen it, how that was realized. Like, so obviously they must have used some sort of a blue screen process, because you didn't see a guy holding up the ball to each,
right,
word. I can't remember how they did it. It must have been very primitive. It was the early 60s. But, yeah.
Kind of like Pong.
It was kind of like Pong, right. Yeah, that's the perfect way to describe it. Yeah. Would that kind of show, I wonder if that would work now, because stuff that you wouldn't think would work, like Dancing with the Stars, when they,
right,
announced that they were doing Dancing with the Stars, I go, this will be done in a week. And look at what a giant hit it was. I wonder if somebody put out a show like that where you just had celebrities just singing songs together.
Well, isn't that karaoke?
I guess the only difference is they had a live band on Mitch Miller and on Lawrence Welk.
Or The Voice. I mean,
oh, I get, well,
American Idol.
Well, yeah, but those aren't celebrities,
extent,
though. These are, this would be,
yeah,
like, I'd love to see John Travolta,
right,
sing with, who would be
Olivia,
good,
Newton-John, and sing some Grease?
But they've done that. I need something.
You,
oh,
want, you
something,
want something new. Okay.
Yeah.
But you know how Jane Lynch has that show called Hollywood Game Night, where you've got celebrities playing games,
that's,
against each other?
That's a great idea.
So why wouldn't you try that with Sing Along with Mitch? You'd have to have somebody named Mitch, I guess.
Okay,
for,
but was
for that
this a
work,
game, or they just came,
no,
and sang? Okay,
they, there was,
it was just
no,
entertainment.
Yes.
Okay, there was no prize, or
no,
you're the best. Or
there was
anything,
no competition,
okay,
involved.
Was Alan Ludden ever on it?
Probably. Yeah.
With Betty White?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
She was a singer,
possibly,
right? Didn't she sing, or did she not?
I don't,
Kathy,
think she...
Kathy Lee Gifford did...
Oh, yeah.
Name that tune.
Did she?
She was the first singer. One of the first.
So she was on before she was famous on,
yeah,
Name That,
she was
New?
The singer,
oh,
on
that,
Name That Tune. Oh,
oh
my God, I taught Bill something.
I didn't know
today,
that.
I didn't know that either.
That's interesting.
She gets on my last nerve sometimes. I like her and I
me
don't.
Too.
You know what I mean?
Me too, yes.
Well, she, at the time, couldn't have been Kathie Lee Gifford because this was prior to Frank.
Yeah.
So what was she? Kathie Lee what? Do you know?
That I don't know.
Unnamed that tune.
Yeah. She was on
Kathie Lee Epstein or
Kathie
Stein.
Kathie Lee Epstein.
Yes.
You guys?
What?
Yes, Jess.
Don't they do that in carpool karaoke? Like sometimes they'll have a
kind of
sing along.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Do they do the ball too?
Sometimes.
Do they?
Oh, I've seen that once or twice though.
Oh. James Corden?
You know, actually, I was thinking about this yesterday because I was sitting watching a movie with my granddaughter and we had the closed captioning on and we were watching that movie Trolls, which has tons of music. It's an adorable movie. And we were singing along because the closed captioning was on, so we had this.
There's your bouncing ball.
There we go. There, just turn on your closed captioning.
773 says, I've never seen the show, but Sing Along with Mitch albums are always at thrift stores. So I'm going
to
check out Goodwill next time I go.
I forgot there was a series of albums. I totally forgot about that. And actually very highly selling albums.
Somebody said the best Christmas album ever was made by Mitch Miller. It starts with The Night Before Christmas, set to music and sung by his chorus.
Oh, that's it. I'm trying to think of.
You know
what,
Bill? You might have something. I wonder if we could do a Follow the Bouncing Ball app, and you could sit there on your phone and you could sing
right.
along.
That would be perfect. That can't be that hard to do.
How hard would that be?
Can
it'd be
it?
Easy. I wonder if there's already one
hard.
Out there. We just gave it away.
Probably. That's all right. That's all right. I'm trying to remember if other than those two, other than Sing Along with Mitch and the Lawrence Welk show, if there were other shows like that at the time. Because it would have been very easy to produce those shows, not expensive at all.
Right.
And those were such big hits. Both of those shows were such huge hits. And I don't know what it was about. Did you watch Lawrence Welk when you were a kid, Kim? There was something very comforting about it. Yeah, I know. You never went out of your way. But if it was on, you're like, I could watch this for a little while. Yeah.
I always had a taste for bohemian food when I watched it. I really did.
Isn't it true, though, that he, even though he had an accent, he was from the U.S., right?
Yeah, but he just sounded, I can't even describe what it was, but I really wanted, like, it was comforting. It was
right.
warm. You want some kind of home-cooked bohemian food.
Right.
I don't even think I knew what bohemian food was then.
Was he German?
I don't know.
I think Lawrence Welk was German.
Welk kind of
sounds
German-ish.
German, right?
Yeah.
But he, to my knowledge, was born in Wisconsin.
Really?
Well, yeah. He did have German roots.
He was born in the German-speaking community of Strasburg, North Dakota.
Oh, okay. North Dakota. Okay.
He was sixth of the eight children of Ludwig and Christiana Welk.
Mm-hmm. So they probably... English was probably not their first language in their house.
With
Roman Catholic,
yeah.
Roman Catholic ethnic Germans who immigrated in 1892 from Odessa, Russian Empire.
Oh.
Hmm. So wait, is he Russian?
Although his polka playing accordion talents lead people to believe that Welk was Polish, his parents were actually emigrated from France to Russia and then to the United States, resulting in a mixed German and Middle European twang. Because there definitely was a little wonderful.
Right.
It was not just your average.
No. It had a very European sound, but you could never place it.
Right.
Might be German, might be French, might be Russian, might be, you know, there was a whole bunch
of
elements.
Sounds like it's a combination, really.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although Welk was born in the United States, his second generation accent was pretty thick. It definitely was.
Oh, yeah.
But I should have had a taste for Russian food, or German food, I guess. Wiener schnitzel instead of the bohemian food.
Spetzel and some pretzel.
He sounded bohemian to me.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I do not think of orchestra leader as bohemian.
Right. Normally not.
Yeah.
Right.
Normally they're pretty tight.
Yeah. Right.
I think hippie-ish when I hear bohemian.
But that's a I grew up near Berwyn, which is the Hobie capital of the world, and a lot of bohemian people lived there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was dumplings and Svichkova and all that. I had friends, all my friends it seemed were bohemian. And now the term bohemian is like hippie and flowy tops.
Right.
When did it make that switch?
I don't know.
Maybe in the 70s when being a hippie was big?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you kind of hear about that, you know, boho
look.
Or...
Right. And what is BOGO again, Wendy?
Buy one, get one.
Do they have boho BOGOs? They don't do that.
Buy one.
Get a German. It's an ad campaign that never quite took off. I remember on Lawrence Welk, one of the guys that was a regular had also been a Mouseketeer. I want to say Bobby Bear. Does that name sound...
Sure, say it.
I'm almost positive it was Bobby Bear. One of the guys on Lawrence Welk, he would always say, his roots are in the Disney World, you know, and that's before Disney World was Disney World. And Bobby Bear was one of the guys. And were there other semi-celebrities on that show, do you remember, on Lawrence Welk? I can't remember.
I don't remember other than it was on and I saw it and it was black and white.
Sundays at 6,
yeah.
Right?
That's probably when we were getting ready to eat dinner. I mean, yes. I didn't ever sit down there and watch the whole thing.
Yeah. Right, right. But that the parody that they would do where Fred Armisen on Saturday Night Live was Lawrence Welk and he would bring out the sisters from... And one of the sisters had a huge forehead. Do you remember that?
No.
Kristen Wiig played.
There
were these three
that.
Sisters, and they would always sing a song, and then whenever they would cut to her, she was like deformed and hideous. It was really funny.
Go back and look at it.
The Lawrence Welk Show. These are just some of the guests that appeared on many episodes. Dick Dale, guitarist extraordinaire.
Oh, yeah. He did surf guitar, right?
Yeah. The Lennon Sisters.
Yes. Well, the sisters that I'm talking about were a parody of the Lennon Sisters, the Saturday Night Live parody.
Arthur Duncan. I don't know who that is. All the Lennons listed individually. Oh. Buddy Merrill.
No.
I don't know any of these people. Tanya Welk. Was that his wife?
Probably.
His daughter.
Wife or daughter.
Aladdin. He is a violinist and a singer. I don't know.
Wow. Jasmine should have married him. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Put in a call to Aladdin.
I'll see what he...
What a novelty that would be.
I'm telling you, I'm scrolling down here and not seeing
names.
You don't
names recognize
I
anybody's
know.
Name? Is Bobby Bear's name among them?
They're not in alphabetical order. The Blenders band were on. Lynn Anderson. Big Tiny Little.
Big Tiny Little was on there?
I don't know who that is.
That was a rapper before its time.
Here's your first rapper, a big tiny little.
That sounded bohemian to me. I don't know why.
I love a guy who decides to make his name Big Tiny Little. That's committing.
Henry Mancini was on.
He deserved to be on.
Charlie Pride.
Oh, he's good.
I like Charlie Pride.
Mostly a country star, right?
Yes.
Pee Wee Spitzalera,
sure.
I don't know who that is. The Diamond Brothers.
Maybe the Diamond Brothers and the Lennon Sisters can get together.
The Osmond Brothers were on.
Oh, yeah?
Some of them.
Were the Jacksons?
My guess is no.
The Osmond Brothers were definitely on.
We had the trouble with Tito. only some of the Osmonds would do it.
Well, it says the Osmond Brothers, and then it lists individually Alan, Jay, Merrill, Wayne.
Oh.
Donny Osmond was on by himself. Pat Boone.
Oh, yeah. You
would assume that. Right?
Tony Bennett?
Connie Smith?
Mm. I don't know if I remember Connie Smith.
Lil Wally.
There's another rapper for you.
Little Frankie Yankovic.
Oh, was he on?
Yeah,
the
of course
Polka
he
King?
Was, yes.
Love him.
Bob Ballard, Barbara Mandrell. These are all the people.
Barbara Mandrell must
She's
have
country.
Been very young.
Yeah.
Right?
She was on one episode in 1980. It was still on in 1980.
Wow.
Yeah.
She wasn't that young then.
Burt Parks. These are all the people who have appeared.
From the Miss America
contest. Did he sing Here She Is Miss America, probably?
Yeah.
Eddie Cantor.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
That's going back a long ways.
These are people who have been on the Lawrence Welk Show. The Stan Thomas Trio. I'm looking for another rapper.
How about that little Nasonex? Was he on there?
No.
No?
Uh-uh. I don't know. There's a million people. Dodie Stevens, whoever that is.
Dodie Stevens. Why do I know that name?
Because wasn't that her name on
My Three Sons?
I don't know if it was Stevens, but Dodie.
Dodie was the girl's name for sure.
Well, they were
Dawn
the
Lynn.
Stevens family, right? Weren't they the Stevens?
No. Douglas.
Douglas, right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it.
Sister Douglas.
Maybe Dodie's mom's maiden name was Stevens. That name sounds familiar.
She did all the shows. She did the Bob Hope Show, the Jukebox Jury. We could bring that
back. I've heard of that.
Dodie Stevens wasn't Frenchy in Greece, was she?
No.
Okay.
No. Didi Khan.
Didi Khan.
Didi Khan.
Okay.
Didi Khan. I'm going to rock you, Didi Khan. Bobby Burgess is the person I'm thinking of from The Mouseketeers. Thank you, texters, for helping me out with that. I kept saying Bobby Bear. That's a guy, too, but I don't know who that is. But it is Bobby Burgess.
Okay. Connie Francis. She was on everything back then.
Yeah, my grandfather loved Connie Francis.
Donna Reed.
Really?
Bobby Vinton.
Oh, I can see that.
I could, too.
That makes perfect sense.
The Mills Brothers. Bob Crane was on the Lawrence Welk show.
Videotaping? Behind the scenes?
From Hogan's Heroes. Skitch Henderson.
Skitch! You know who he was?
No.
He was the band leader on The Tonight Show before Doc Severinsen.
That is super cool. Jack Benny, Kate Smith, Doc Severinsen.
Wow.
Minnie Pearl. What show wasn't Minnie Pearl?
Minnie Pearl.
Howdy.
Yep. She showed up a lot and always forgot to take the price tag off her hat, Wendy. How embarrassing.
This is going to surprise you. On the Lawrence Welk show in 1974, one episode.
Yes.
John Travolta.
Really? Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So 74, that would have been about the, that's the year Welcome Back Kotter came on, right? 74, 75?
Mm-hmm. I'm looking that up.
That's an interesting move to put him on the Lawrence Welk show.
But the girls loved her.
Yeah,
loved him.
I'm sure.
So when some of these people, did they all sing or they just kind of made an appearance and said hello?
They would sing. His show was wall-to-wall singing.
Yeah,
there was no downtime.
Well, I mean, we know
he didn't do interviews like, you know.
Welcome Back Kotter was 75. 74 about the time. Nightmare, a TV movie. He played Danny. John Travolta played Danny on Medical Center. And had done Owen Marshall, Counselor at Law, and Emergency, and The Rookies before that.
Oh.
So
that
this
got
is
pre-Kotter.
Welcome Back. We got to take a break.
Yeah, we do.
Well, we're out of show, but it's nice strolling down memory lane.
Always.
That's a wonderful, wonderful...
Bye, Kim. Thanks for hanging out. We'll say goodbye in a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Until we meet again. Adios. Au revoir. I'll be the same.
This should be our theme.
This should be. This is beautiful. Wendy, here's the text of the day from 815. On Saturday nights, I would call my grandma during the Lawrence Welk show if I didn't want to talk to her for an hour. Ah, that's so funny.
Well, good night. We might use this from now on.
Yes. We want to thank John Travolta for coming on with us today. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow with more fun. Bye, Wendy.
Auf Wiedersehen.